Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Bob Brill. Only on LA Talk Radio.
That is the Irish Celtic Folk Wanderers, and it's called the Chorus Jig. And Bob was up here doing it.
Hey, I can do a jig. I can do a jig in my underwear.
Bobby, I really wanted to do River Dance, but we didn't make it.
we're going to a big two-day Celtic festival in Albuquerque this weekend.
You are?
Yeah, there's pipers and all. They do all those great games as it's going to be really fun. We've never been to one before. We could never get away. So, yeah.
Oh,
wow.
A big two-day event.
Well,
let me give you some more.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, this is Thursday, and you are listening to LA Talk Radio, and this is The Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina, in studio tonight with Bob Brill and my lovely and charming wife, Jerry, who is also the hardest working person in radio. She is the one that
books our
show and is also the producer of The Writer's Block. And, of course, in Albuquerque, the oft-missing Bobby Jean Bell, who is sitting there now going, why are you doing this to me? Anyway, Bob is like, he hates Sigel Lurch, you can tell.
Oh, God. You know, like I was telling before the show started, the two words that every driver in Los Angeles hates. And if you're not in Los Angeles, you're in Albuquerque or someplace like that,
right,
you wouldn't really know. But the word Sigel Lurch is just like crazy, you know. And anytime you got to get to someplace on time, there's a Sigel Lurch. LA is the only city in the world where a guy getting a flat tire can tie up a whole city for 9 hours.
Right. Okay. Now, this is a question that I've asked many times, and you being from KNX, 1070 Talk Radio, might know this answer.
Okay.
What does it mean, Sigler?
Yeah, I do, yeah. As soon as you started that question, I knew you were going to ask it. I'm sitting there saying,
I don't know.
Golly. I used to know.
Oh.
And basically what it means is there's been an accident or something that has caused such a problem that it's going to cause traffic to back up, and they have to get law enforcement on the scene to basically clear it up.
Gotcha.
Until it's cleared up. So it could be a fatal accident.
So why don't they call it a law enforcement alert?
It has nothing to do with the signal, I assume.
No. No, at least as far as I know, it doesn't.
Maybe it's the guy's name who made it up.
Maybe he's now got a crab boat. Sig.
Up Alaska, yeah.
Yeah, remember the monkey business. Last week.
Oh, didn't we go through that last week?
I think we did, yeah.
So, Bobby.
Yes.
How are things in Albuquerque?
Great.
Good.
I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Oh, me too. Me too. After speaking with our author on Tuesday evening, I'm really looking forward to this show because she was a hoot, and I'm sure she's going to be a hoot. So let's get the fun started. You have typed your last period. You have written the end on a several-page manuscript, and now you sit back and you go, oh, crap, what do I do? I don't know. Well, you can get it published. You can get a hold of Black Dog and Tuscany Bay Books, and we can help you. You know what? The best way to do that is to send us your manuscript, and we can go through it for you and tell you if it needs a lot of work or if it's rewrite it or do whatever it is you want to do. We are easy to get a hold of, and we can help you get your book out and where you can get it on your shelf and give it away to your friends and your relatives and not make any money like all of us do. Bob's over there giggling, but he goes, yep.
Yeah.
So
what was that deposit I got the other day of $2.87?
I got one of those from Amazon the other day.
Yeah.
It was a big one.
I got two of them the other day. I was really excited. They totaled $9.97.
I actually got a check from Amazon one month last year for like $560.
Really?
Really.
Yeah, was it a refund for something?
No. It was for a combination of Stillwaters end of line, and Jonah Blue.
I don't know, but I'm asking for a raise right now.
You don't? No, 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 no.
Yeah, you never told her about that check.
I know. I should. I told Richard. Anyway.
Did he tell you about the weekend that followed the check cash?
No, she knows. I'm always home. If you're interested in getting a hold of us, we can help you with your manuscript and turn it into a book for you, one that might make you some money. The number you can call is 805-795-3165, or you can email me at tuscanybaybooks.com, or rpalinelli, I don't even attempt to spell
that.
And that's also at Tuscany Bay Books. If you go to tuscanybaybooks.com, those email addresses are right there. And we can help you get started, and good luck on your authorship, because don't quit writing. Don't ever quit writing if you've started.
And okay. You know, the important thing is, you know, a lot of people ask us, how do I write a book? Or something?
Right.
You start writing.
Yeah.
Just start writing.
Yeah,
it's not going to write itself.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. If you can sit down and sit still for 5 minutes, you can at least get a paragraph going. And then you get two paragraphs.
And
then
three.
Pretty soon you got 54 pages. And then you go, where do I go from here?
And if you do it on Word, that really is 108 pages.
That is true. That is true. Okay, the Out West Shop is your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and the Western lifestyle. Shop for unique and distinctive apparel, fashion accessories, home decor, and general merchandise. National brands include, but not limited to, Rock Mount Ranchwear. I threw that in, Bobby Jean. Rock Mount Ranchwear, Scully Leather Company, and American West Handbags, just to name a few. You can shop online at www.outwestshop.com. Is your SCV still working?
Oh, yes.
Okay, or you can go to www.scvoutwest.com. Enter code WB100. And receive $10 off your order. And if you want to talk to them live and in person, the number you can dial is 877, or punch, I guess you don't dial anymore, 877-340-9378. And you get a real live person named Jim or Bobby on the phone. So give that a shot, see what you can do, and good luck. They have great stuff there. If only they didn't have a hat that would fit Richard, but I don't think they make hats that big. Okay.
But we had a bolo. We had a bolo and probably a lot of shirts that would work.
Yeah, but a hat? Oh, my God, that man's got a head. That's like... Okay, since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service, TFM truckload, and LTL service that is the best in the industry. Not only are they exceptionally good at what they do, but they work hard to make your full truckload shipping or LTL experience unparalleled using their customized traffic movement program. So call TFM Truckload or Target Freight Management LTL today, 844-653-7789. Ask for Mike Matruski for truckload or any of the fine account managers at 888-653-1323 for LTL. Tell them you heard it here in the writer's block, and they'll have something a little extra for you. And if you want to do it online, you can go to www.targetfmi.com is their web address online. So there you go. Okay. Anybody got anything that's real important to say before we dig into our writer for this evening?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting that, you know, I mentioned last week that I'm starting a new program because I'm writing the fifth Lancer book starting in January. And I asked, you know, on my blog, Lancer Hero of the West, the blog.
Right.
And I put up there that I want people to help me write the next book.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, and we announced it on the show last week. And so, you know, you just go to Lancer Hero of the West. You'll see the latest blog. It tells you how to do that. So I want input into the next Lancer book. And we want you to, you know, buy the previous book so you kind of understand the character and stuff. Sure enough, where did I get one from? The UK.
Why not?
Scotland. I got a reader in Scotland who loves it. And he emailed me. He says, I'm working on it. I got a whole bunch of ideas and I want to get them over to you. And I said, why not? Sure, why not? So anyway, it started, and I encourage anybody who just likes Westerns.
I may go there and do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just give me some ideas, and if I incorporate them, I'll credit you. If I don't, they don't.
Today I wrote a really cool saloon scene in a book that I'm
really
writing. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's awesome.
Do you have any tequila in it?
No. No. Well, I don't know about the two guys at the table, but the guys at the bar were drinking beer.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, coming off the trail, it's dusty, right. Thirsty. Yeah. You know, clear, you had to clear your palate for getting the full taste of the tequila.
Yeah.
Back then, they had Scud tequila. That's all they really had.
Yeah, it's all that stuff they got off the vine.
Yeah.
I mean, I said off the vine. I mean, off the cactus.
Well, yeah, off the maguey plant. Is that what they mean?
The guave?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, Jerry and I just did a radio show here next door at 6 o'clock, and it's called KWTF Radio. We had a great time. And we had, tons of listener?
Yeah. I listened.
Did you? Well, that's right, you did.
I was stuck in traffic.
We had a good time. We had a good time.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, we did. Okay, our guest tonight, her name is Writer Wrong, R-Y-T-E-R-R-O-N-G, and her name symbolizes controversy, pen to paper. Right or Wrong is a breath of fresh air doing what few are willing to do, write fact fiction filled with historical truths of love and drama for people that are now, finally, because of her, have a voice. Join her on the first saga release of an unforgettable adventure in the life of 11-year-old Taliesin O'Reilly. She was taken to be a young slave during a great Irish genocide. The small fiery redhead ended up in Barbados, and then ended up in the Carolinas, and she met all kinds of African slaves, and, oh, my God, the book is just, like, keeps going and going and going. So, the name of the book is Ireland Calls My Name. Would you please welcome to the Writer's Block, Miss Writer Wrong. You got the clap, Writer.
Oh, I like that. That was nice.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it. Actually, the guy who was here last week, I started cracking up when he got the applause. He goes, I had never had applause before. So we've all read the book. We all have ideas. And Bob, what was your thoughts?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I loved it. I actually got through it all. And I could see it as a miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, not as a 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour. Certainly not as a feature film, but I definitely see it as like an Amazon or a Netflix
mm-hmm.
feature series.
Yeah.
Or series for one of. And I had some questions about the style of writing, but I really, mm-hmm. Really enjoyed it. I mean, it kind of takes place if you look into your history, and I think you have to do that right off the bat in the 1650s in Cromwell's Reign of Terror.
Right.
And if you know anything about that era, you kind of really, really get into it. And it's, I be honest with you, it's a brutal book.
It is.
It's totally very brutal. But you know, it's not over the top brutal. You know, I mean, it's sort of like not quite anything that could happen did happen. Okay, it's not there, but I think it tells a true picture of the times. And it's interesting. We do this on the week that Tom Wolfe just died.
That's
who
true.
Was
That's
the,
true.
Some people like to say the father of true fiction,
right.
So to speak, and that kind of writing. But no, I had one question I had is centers around. The young lady, Taliesin, speaks in a brogue, obviously an Irish brogue. And I expected, mm-hmm. I was kind of concerned when I was going to get to Barbados and some of the other places
right.
as to if I was going to have other accents and stuff, which might confuse me,
uh-huh.
you know, because you have to readjust yourself if you're reading
right.
someone else's language. And so I was, when I got there, it didn't. And I was kind of, I wanted to ask Ryder what was her thoughts behind only doing the Irish brogue and really not getting into the other accents, or did I miss something?
No, that's actually kind of interesting. I have a girlfriend who lives in Ireland, and so her accent is the only accent that I know. So I could write her accent, you know, the way she speaks to me and you know, the way she words things. You know, like, so it is at the end, you know, mm-hmm. it's a lovely day, so it is. She says things like that.
And they're always
like
talking
that,
about
right?
me die.
I wrote it that way.
Yeah, me die.
Right. And so I had her be a beta reader, and she went in and would tell me when I did things that were offensive in the book that I wasn't aware of. And so I'd go and fix those things, like, you know, calling. I said that she had, gosh, how did I word it? I was describing her red hair. Now I can't even think of the word. They say it all the time in Harry Potter.
Oh, I've never read any Harry Potter.
Like fiery or because you have red hair on a couple of different times with different characters. I think, is it Molly that has such beautiful red hair? Is it Molly late in the book?
And green eyes.
Yeah, but there was a term for it, for red hair. Gosh, I can't. I'll think of it after the show's over. Anyway, she had let me know to take that term out and say she has auburn hair because it was a derogatory term that the English used for them. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. She's like, yeah, a lot of people don't realize that. And so I changed that. But after I finished the book, she kind of laughed. She said she had several of her friends read it, and they all enjoyed it. But she said the accent I gave the people, it was like having someone born in Texas with a Boston accent. And I was like, oh, no.
That's okay. My Italian relatives say I speak Italian with a Spanish accent. So it's like.
Okay. But, yeah, that's why nobody else had accents, is because all I knew was what I heard from her. I don't know how they sound in Barbados or anywhere else.
Oh, yeah. I guess I never really thought about that. I did notice one thing about the master, and I caught it, and I don't know why I caught it, but I did, and I almost skimmed by it, and then I had to go back and read it to make sure I just read what I just read. He called her his lovely Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I thought,
that's it.
That was the word.
And I'm thinking, holy crap, that's what they call him today. You know,
yeah, and that's a derogatory term. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because for red hair.
That's the one. So, yeah. Well, yeah, he did.
You managed. Go ahead, Renner.
Huh?
Go ahead. Oh,
well, I don't know, you know, if it was derogatory at that point in time or not, or if that was something that happened later. I just know that's what my girlfriend had told me.
Oh, well, we have a Ginger golden retriever. And we used to call her Ginger all the time, and Jerry says, stop it, because that's going to become her name, and her name is actually Bella. So, but anyway, I Bobby had brought this up, and I'd thought about it, and you and I had talked about it the other night about there was so much pain and angst as she moved from Ireland in the hold of the ship to Barbados, and then it is the Carolinas, right? Am I wrong in assuming that?
No, she ended up in Virginia.
Oh, in Virginia. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. And then Virginia. And that, but then I, being a history major, I kind of had to search my memory and go back, and there was nothing nice about being a slave or an indentured servant. It was a hard, 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 painful, oft times deadly life.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if you were an indentured servant from England, you really did get your plot of land and your little bit of money and your clothes after the 7 years, and you had your new profession because you were trained in it.
Right.
But not from Ireland.
No. And you know, the Irish at that time, I mean, I would say a good 60% of the Irish people coming over to America at that point were probably indentured and brought over on slave ships. And they actually were the white equivalent to the N-word, or as my relatives from Sicily would call them, the Molinard. Mm-hmm. And And that's what they were, as white blacks. And they were treated as badly as the blacks, but they were given a few more, you know, benefits, but not many.
Yeah, like being in the house and that kind of stuff,
Which they didn't want to do.
One thing I was kind of curious about, you brought up the gypsy side.
Yes.
And I don't know if many people would know that there was that factor in Ireland at that time.
Already at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they weren't Roma gypsies in Ireland. They were called travelers because they lived like gypsies. I put Roma gypsies over there because, you know, fiction. You know, I just kind of did a little bit of stuff that I wanted to do. But I wanted people to know that, yes, the gypsies did come over on the slave ships, too, and they were treated even worse than the blacks and the Irish.
Right, right. Plus the European.
I actually found documentation about that they did, a mile out from port, throw them overboard. Mm-hmm. All of that was fact.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then they stowed on the shore, waited for them to swim ashore, and bludgeoned
and
the ones
that
made it
to the shore.
Right, right. Good.
And the Amish would be waiting, and they would pick up the ones that survived after everybody, the crowd would leave after meeting. Yeah.
Well, I suppose if you got to be saved by somebody, you might as well be the Amish.
Can I jump in?
Of course you can,
Bobby.
Can
I jump in for a second?
Yeah.
I have to tell you that this book was absolutely compelling from page one. And you do sweep us across, you know, three continents two continents with an ocean in between. And at a time that is kind of jolting, most of us probably don't really know a lot about English history at this time period and Cromwell. And the whole setting for this, it had to have taken you a lot of hours of research because you hit on so many topics, and a lot of it is brutality, but it's also life on a ship, life on a plantation, you know, life in an Irish village. You tell us a little bit about your research process?
It was everything from the library to the internet. Everything I could get my hands on, I would read and take bits and pieces that I thought were important that people should know about and hang on to. I tell you what, the most difficult thing to write in this book, oddly enough, was what kind of underwear did they wear back then? I never could find it.
Wow. You know, the sad part of it, only somebody named Right or Wrong would think about what kind of underwear they were wearing back in the 1600s.
Well, you give us
I get naked so often, you know.
Well, yeah, I live naked, yeah.
You give us so much wonderful description that it doesn't surprise me that you would be wondering about that. You know, the scenes on the ships, even about how they carried the buckets up and down and how they tried to protect themselves, their skirts and such, not hitting the ground. And, you know, you really put us there. And I think that's what made even the hard sections compelling to want to read and turn that page, because we want to know what happens. And then you have this whole mystical element.
Right, right.
That is, you have the mysticism and the power of love and hope that permeate every single page, even in the bleakest of moments. And I think that's remarkable for a writer to be able to do that.
Yeah, you virtually had, I don't know about Bob and Bobby, but you virtually had me smelling everything that was going on in the hold of that ship.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, as they were sloshing the buckets coming up the ladder.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I was thinking, holy crap. I would be like barfing. I would be like just incapable of doing anything.
But when she gets to be up on the ship and then she marvels in that salty air and, you
right.
know, that's that hope. That's, you show us, you know, they celebrate Christmas when they're not supposed to. And that's a whole nother, you know, scene where we have tragedy and we have
right.
and we have joy. And you show us both of these worlds where we can touch it, taste it, feel it, and you have two women that deal with things very differently, Taliesin and Naomi.
Right, right. Well, smell it too.
You know, Naomi is a little bit, tell us a little bit about her. She's a great counterpoint.
Ryder, are you there?
Uh-oh.
Did she have to get in the Uber car?
I don't know. She's still hooked up with us. Oh, no, she's not. What happened?
Oh, maybe she, well, she kind of thought she might have to be on the road for part of this.
Let me give her another call.
Well, while you're doing that, you know, it was interesting to go through, and I want to ask her about the seer part of this, and as Bobby was mentioning about the mystical part, as far as someone who sees into the future and who sees into the past, and I thought it was a fascinating thread from beginning to end through the entire book, because the book, like we talked about, is pretty brutal and it's very graphic. It's not something you want to read if you're looking for a fun time, but it's really.
Hello,
is she back?
Are we back?
Yes, I'm back.
Oh, good.
I'm sorry.
I was just spending time trying to until you got back, and I wanted to ask you about the seer aspect, the person who looks into the future and looks into the past. You had more than one of them, actually, but the main character. Is that an interest of yours?
Actually, I come from a family of we see things, and so it just felt natural because the book is based very, very loosely on things I found in my own genealogy research. I did not know about Irish slavery. And when I was looking up my own history, I found that. And after that, I was like, huh, I wonder, because I had read that, you know, a very distant grandmother was bought as an Irish slave and a very distant grandfather was an African slave, and they were bred for unique livestock.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, so I had my ancestry. I mean, I had my DNA tested through Ancestry.com, and I was 17% Irish and 3% African.
Wow.
And I was like, somebody needs to tell this story. It needs to be out there because I didn't know it existed.
Well, Sicilians were like 20% black.
Huh?
Sicilians were like 20% African.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating. You
know, so I decided, you know, if I'm going to base it loosely on my family, we may as well put some of the aspects, you know, because I am psychic. I do see things. My husband found out very quickly when we got together.
I bet he did.
That must have made for a big honeymoon.
Like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Where were you tonight, honey?
I know where you're going
to
be.
We were headed to a convention from L.A. to Chicago and from Chicago to Kentucky. So we had a layover. And when we were headed to Chicago, I'm like, I don't want to get on the next flight. And he's like, why? And I said, well, I had a bad vision, and it's not going to crash, but I don't like flying anyway. I call them air coffins. That's what planes are to me. I don't like flying. And I fly all the time. Anyway, I'm like, you know, it's going to go down. There's blue seats. There's blue leather. And he's always joking. He's like, leather or pleather? I'm like, no, not funny. I'm serious right now. And I said, it's a small plane, and there's light shining in through the windows. And there's a red check mark, and there's not enough oxygen for everybody with a little mask. And he says, he goes, okay, first of all, the plane is not small. We fly on big planes. Second, you know, he said, we're doing a red eye. There's no light coming in through the windows, and there's no red writing on this plane. And I'm like, okay, we get to Chicago. We get on the plane. We're sitting there. And I go, the seats are blue leather.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks in front of me, and he's like, oh, well, you know, that's not a big deal. I go, it's a small plane. There's two seats on this side and one on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, what about the rest of it? And then the pilot comes on and says, we have a leak in one of the oxygen tanks, so we're going to have to sit on the runway for a while they swap them out.
Did you take off in a rainstorm, too?
I've done that.
Did you take off in a rainstorm as well?
Well, we eventually took off, but you know, we're sitting there and they're swapping out the. We sat there so long, the sun came up and started shining through the windows.
Oh my gosh!
But you know what?
And he goes, "Where's the red check mark?" And we look out as they're hauling off the tank, and there's a red check mark on the ground. And he's like, "We need to get off the plane right now." And I'm like, "Hold on, I don't feel anxious anymore. I think they fixed whatever's wrong." And then the pilot came on right as I said that, and said, there was a mechanical issue, but it's been dealt with, and we'll be taking off shortly.
Oh, my gosh,
okay,
Ryder,
but
wow.
You try coming back from...
My husband's like, I will never doubt you again.
Ryder, you should try coming back from Las Vegas, and you're sitting next to a woman eating a tuna fish sandwich in 115 degrees.
That reminds me, I had to take off in a plane once, and we're sitting on the runway, and the pilot kept coming on and saying, you know, I've got a little delay, we're just trying to fix the light bulb, we're trying to fix this, and like for 40 minutes, and finally he comes back on and he says, sorry folks, we just got the light bulb fixed, I have to just tell you, it's a brand new airplane, and we're still trying to work out the bugs.
Find me another plane.
No.
Hey, I'm going to put everybody on pause for just a second. I've got to do a little ad here, and we'll be back to you. So don't anybody go away, and I'll be back. And what did it used to say, two and two? No, probably less than 30 seconds. So hang tough, and we'll be right back with you. Okay, let's do this. Imagine deep blue skies and majestic mountains and acres of lush green orange trees and a tranquil country setting. Sound like a perfect vacation spot? It is. For your dog. That's right. All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepover, the premium place for your four-legged friends to spend their time away from you. Whether you are going away for a one-night or two-night getaway or an extended vacation, All Dogs Rule is the place your dog wants to be when they can't be with you. When your dog returns home, you'll have to ask whose vacation was better. Yours or the dog's? Well, the obvious answer here is the dog's. So check out their website, alldogsrule.com. Give them a call at 805-524-1100. Your dog will thank you, and Russ will thank you, and Karen will thank you, and thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. Okay, it is now 7:30 on the nose. We are speaking in the studio with writer Wrong. She's written a book called Ireland Calls My Name. I'm here with Bob Brill and my wife, Jerry. Bobby Jean Bell's on the other line. And, of course, we have writer Wrong on the phone. And if you want to call and talk to writer, the number in the studio here is 818-602-4929. Again, that number is 818-602-4929. And Richard, he threatened to call in tonight, but I haven't heard from him, so. Oh, well.
I had to ask, Ryder, now that you found out that you're Irish, say the word Ireland for me.
Ireland?
Oh, you're close. A true Irishman says Ireland. Always buries in the R-E in the throat. I just...
It's Ireland.
Ireland. It's down here. It's like somebody from Tulsa. It's not Tulsa. It's Tulsa. It's Tulsa time. You're living on Tulsa time. Hey, what can I tell you? Just little bits of trivia, you know, that you
okay.
know, makes life a little more.
Hey, she should be able to do it. Her name is Ryder
Rowe.
There
you go.
So is there a sequel? Is there a book two? You leave us hanging.
Or three or four or five?
I know it could be even.
I can go forwards or backward. There is. There's
you really? Actually, you could.
There's got to be a prequel there.
There can be one, but yeah, there's definitely one in my head. I have not put it on paper. It took me 2 years to write that one. And so I'm writing stuff that doesn't take as long because it's so much research.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well,
and
most of the research is done now.
Stuff that, yeah. I like research.
Well, yeah, I know, but most of it should be done for another book on look who's calling. Polinelli decided to get off his butt in Omaha and give us a shout. Let's see.
Yeah, Ryder, are you working on a screenplay at all, or are you pitching out that?
And who do we have here on the phone?
The Nebraska kids, who you have on the phone there, Mr. Christina.
Hello, Richard.
Hello.
My ex-radio
husband.
Hey,
everybody. How you doing?
Good.
It's your radio husband, yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, I was listening to the show, and then Jim said I was threatening to call in, so I figured I better call.
Well, okay, so you did. So, bye, Richard. We're going to go back to our conversation now.
Oh, well, fine. See, I was just going to tell Ryder and her husband a congratulations on her wedding recently.
Thank you.
On her what?
And I'm sorry I'm not there in studio, but, you know, life decides to throw things at you, and you have to go with it. So there you go.
So she got married
yes,
just recently?
I hear you.
Oh, you just got married?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so that honeymoon story was, like, really quick.
Oh, it's like, no kidding.
Actually took place before we got married.
Oh.
We were together long distance for a year. I was in Texas, and he was in L.A. We grew up together in Texas and then reunited 30 years later. He just tried to ask me out in high school, but he finally asked me out 30 years later. So I eventually moved out to L.A., and then we tied the knot on Valentine's Day this year.
Well, congratulations.
Such romance.
Thank you. Thank you.
So there's a lot of us on Facebook who are rooting you guys on, and we're really happy to see you finally get married. So I just wanted to say congratulations sort of in person.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And your book is great. So my question, I think you guys were getting into, are there more coming? Is Her Mother and the Captain one of those stories you're going to write?
Mm,
oh,
exactly,
I hope so.
Yes.
Good question.
Yes. That's going to be one of the pre kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Leading, you know, explaining how they, you know, end up that way. So, yeah, they're definitely one. I want to write one about Naomi, the
right.
gypsy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to write one about what happens with Taliesin, and her daughter.
Yeah, that would be. I think those would be great follow-ups to the book. So we're gonna be pestering you to write that.
You know, I figured writing it this way because I like strong female leads. I can write historical books based around this family for centuries.
Sure, the next 150 years.
Yeah, I could really see a John Jakes type of set of miniseries going on, epic type things.
Question.
Yeah, I would love that.
A question for you, writer. Her daughter's name. There's an actress of the same name, and I cannot pronounce it to save my soul. It's Saoirse.
It's actually very Saoirse.
Saoirse. Okay.
Saoirse.
Saoirse.
Like S A. Yeah. Saoirse.
Okay. Now, why is it spelled that funny way? Because it's Gaelic. That's
it's
why.
Gaelic.
Duh.
Exactly. Like I pronounced Drogheda wrong all these years. I was saying Drogheda, and when I actually went to Ireland, my husband set up my first book signing in Ireland. And when I went over there, they were like, "No, it's Drogheda." I was like, "Oh, well, okay. Thank you for telling me that."
Wow. There you go.
Well, and of course,
we're still unpacking here in Nebraska. I'm about to get buried in boxes, so I'm gonna bail out. But I just wanted to say hi to writer because I wasn't there like I was planning. So looking forward to all your upcoming books, and I will be talking to Jim next week.
Yes, you will.
Thank you.
Because you have a spot on the block next week.
We'll catch you later.
Bye, Richard. Radio husband.
Bye.
Mr. Richard Palinelli. All right, hang up, Richard. Okay.
Hey. So Ryder, I have to ask you, when you got the idea to write this book, was it a long, long time ago? And was this something you wanted to do as a kid, or was it just after you did the DNA thing?
It was after I did the DNA thing, and I had a dream one night about one of the pivotal themes in the book, and so I wrote that theme down and built the book around it.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I think I've done that before. built a book around one scene. Actually, I built a book, Jonah Blue, about the whole dream.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me about your process, writer. I mean, when you sit down at your computer, I assume it's a word processor of some sort, unless you like using an old Remington, which you don't seem like to type.
No, laptop.
There you go.
When you
sit down to write, what brings you to that point? Do you feel like you're compelled to write? Is it something that is you're driven to do, or was it just something that just kept going for you?
I had to make myself write through parts of it,
but
most of it just comes to me. It's like the way I describe it, because I host writers' panels at conventions sometimes, and I get that question a lot. For me, when I sit down and start writing, the characters tell me what to write. I'm watching a movie in my head and just jotting down what I see.
Bobby?
Mm. Yes.
How many times have we heard a writer say that?
I think maybe just once.
What, did the characters dictate what the book is going to be?
No, about the movie, seeing the scenes like they're a movie. And I can't recall who shared that, but I feel like maybe we've had that. We've had the characters. In fact, I think on your website you talk about the characters just kind of come through you and write, and that you appreciate the reader who gives them life and gives them form and that's not as eloquent. I'm not a writer, so I'm paraphrasing you. But
you're doing
great. Now that's a really lovely thing to be thinking about the reader.
Mm-hmm.
I know all authors must think about the reader, of course, but the fact that you crystallize that and that you shared that it's important as you create, it's as much for the reader, the character's life and the reader's life, and I loved that.
Hmm.
Thank you.
That
is, because I feel like I'm a reader when I'm writing those things. I don't feel like a writer. I feel like I said, I'm just speaking for the characters, and I'm getting to be a reader who's enjoying it as I'm writing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It feels like I see it from the reader's perspective the whole time it's coming out.
And I can feel that as a reader, because as we've been sharing, there are some rough passages that we read, but then you give us something delightful. You take us to a place where we can kind of breathe, and we can kind of get our, you know, get our feet underneath us again, before you launch into the next escapade. And I think there's a consciousness of being in the reader's experience as you write that.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely am as I write all of that. And I know when I wrote some of those really rough scenes, I would have to put the book down for 2 days. I would cry, mm-hmm. and then I'd go on Facebook, because I'm friends with tons and tons and tons of writers. And I would go on Facebook and go, one of my favorite people just died, and I'm devastated. And they would all come on and give condolences.
You know what, though? You get used to that writer, because I kill them off all the time.
I know. These guys kill them off all the time, writer.
You can't have that emotion. No. They're dead. They're people.
Oh, my goodness. It was awful.
Yeah, but it's if you have any thought of ever, you know, drawing a gun and killing somebody, you could do it as a writer.
There you go.
You don't have to commit a crime.
There you go.
Well, she could bring them back into another life.
There
too.
You go.
She could.
In this book that actually nobody really has to be gone forever.
That's,
you know,
correct.
You can magically restore them in another century.
A prequel.
You know, your comment about writing the characters as you see them in the movie, which is something I do, and I think back on that, and I think of my experience, because I'm a child of the 50s and 60s, and when TV was really grasping our hold, and is that sort of the same thing for you? You drew from TV, you drew from film, and that kind of thing?
No. Not at all.
Really?
I guess she told you.
No, I guess so. Let me slap myself here.
No, so, I mean, something has to really pique my interest for me to sit down and watch it on TV. I don't prefer that. I prefer painting and drawing and writing and, you know, doing stuff. And so, no, I mean, my husband has, since the book's come out, and since, you know, I've become so enmeshed in his life, he is big on film and how they do this and how they do that and why they, and now that he's saying all those things, that probably will be an impact when I write now, you know, when I put out the next book. But before that, I really didn't watch a whole lot of anything.
Hmm.
So, no, it didn't really impact me. But when, like I said, when I was writing it, I could see it in my head, like you said, as a miniseries. I could easily see it as that.
Oh yeah, well, I think we all, when we write great scenes, I think we all say, "Wow, that'd be great in a movie."
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, just the fact that this is so broad yet so, at the same time, so tightly refined.
And
I mean,
focused.
It's very visual.
Yes, extremely
it's a
visual.
Very visual book.
Very visual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really, truly
Thank
is.
Yeah.
Now comes the big question, writer. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you sitting?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I am.
Have you ever gotten writer's block? And if you have, what did you do to get out of it?
Oh, Lord. Yes. It is the worst thing in the whole world. I did everything from having a glass of wine and turning on Irish music.
That's
and
a
dancing
big one.
Around the room until something hit me. To crying. You're just like, please, please, I need to write something. You know,
especially when you killed off a character.
And then when I finally end up doing most of the time, I will go write something else. I will go work on a different book and give that one a rest. And something will hit me at some point, and then I'm back into it again. But for me, that's what works better than anything else.
So are you saying that you're writing two books at the same time?
Oh, yeah. I'm always writing several at the same time.
Wow.
I jump from book to book
either.
To book.
I'm not a multitasker.
I'm a multitasker, but I want to get that boom.
Yeah.
The beginning to end. You know. I'm an A to Z guy.
Surprisingly, that's the only thing I can multitask at. I'm terrible at multitasking.
Well, writing two books at one time.
I can do that, yeah. And I write children's books as well, so when I really need a break, I just sit down and write a fun little children's book and then go right back into my
Yeah. I always thought if I was doing two books at once,
darker stuff.
I'd start putting book A into book B and back and forth, and I kind of lose my place, and then I really get writer's block, and then I have to go open a bottle of bourbon.
It was interesting because, Ryder, one of the things you just said is that, it wasn't TV or movies, but you like to paint, you like to do all those other things. So what you're saying is you're a real creative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's
you're a creator. You're a creator. A visual creator.
Yeah, I'm even a visual learner. I mean, very visual.
Wow.
Ryder, can you just briefly tell us how you found your publisher?
I self-published.
Good girl.
Yeah.
So you would have had a variety of opportunities with different independent publishers. How did you... kind of what was your process? How did you find it's Amber Swan Publishing, right? How did you find that company?
She writes her own books. She's got 27 books out. Hers are all historical fiction and they're interracial romance and amazing books. And I'm friends with her. And so she had offered to do my cover art, which I think she did an incredible job. And she asked me, she said, because she publishes, she's her own, she's like a publisher, but she said if she could put her information on the spine of my book, then we could just do that instead of me paying her for the cover art.
Oh,
and
I
that way
you.
People who like my book would love her books.
Got
they
it.
Have the same kind of style of writing and everything. It's amazing.
Mm.
And we didn't even know. We became friends, after she'd already put out 25 books.
Yeah.
And then I had asked her to be a beta reader for mine. And she's like, have you read one of mine? And so I started reading hers, when mine was done. And I'm like, we write the same. And she's like, right? Yeah. And so she's actually working on a book about Ireland and Irish slavery, but from a different perspective. And she's African American. So it's kind of neat to have the two different things coming through and be able to bounce things off of each other.
Right.
Did you? And so her book actually is called Saoirse, which she did not know about my book when she was writing her book.
Wow.
And it just was amazing that we were that connected like that.
Wow. Well, cool. there is the seer in you.
Apparently, somewhere. And not very well buried, I might add. We're going to have to kind of cut you short here. I know that you're going to be trying to get on an Uber or in an Uber and get the hell out of here for the airport. And we're running out of time. So if you wouldn't mind, Ryder, give our audience your email and website address and Facebook and all that good stuff.
It's easy. It's writerwrong.com. That's my website.
There you go. That's R-Y-T-E-R.
And how do you spell writer?
R-Y-T-E-R-R-O-N-G. No W.
Right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Not her real name?
No. Not my real name.
No.
I write things that are controversial, and I know this book has agitated some people because they loved Cromwell.
I can't imagine anybody loving Cromwell.
I'm sure there's a Cromwell Society somewhere.
She's his descendant. Yeah, she's like, I'm a descendant of his. I can't believe you slandered his name. I'm like, have you read the history book?
That doesn't alter the fact that he wiped out pretty much three quarters of Ireland.
Yeah. Exactly.
Go to Oliver, friend of mine. No.
Used to live down the street from
Holy Cromwell. Ryder, thanks for joining us. It's been a hoot having you, and I know you're in a hurry. So have a good time up in Chicago, in Chicago.
Yeah.
Congratulations again on your marriage, and good luck to you.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Keep us in the loop, would you please? And if you get a new book coming out, let us know.
I will.
We'd love to have you in the studio.
I would love to come in the studio, too, and I'm right here. So
yeah, I know. And because the abuse just isn't the same when you're not sitting in the studio.
That's true.
Okay.
We'll get together.
Take care, and have yourself a good trip.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Ryder. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Right or wrong? Great book. Loved it.
I did, too. I had a little trouble getting started on it. And like I said at the beginning, it was because of the Brogue. I wasn't sure, you know, because you had to refocus. And I was concerned that when I got to Barbados and it was different accents and stuff, I would have to refocus all the time. And that didn't happen because of what the way she wrote writing it.
So. I you know, I ripped through that book in, what, a day and a half? And just, I couldn't put it down. I couldn't stop reading it.
Yeah, once I got into it, I was the same way.
It was so interesting. And I told Jerry, actually, that I'm having a little trouble with this book. It's right at the beginning. Nah.
Yeah.
Got past the beginning and took off like a scalded cat.
I had no trouble from the beginning to the end, and I didn't have any trouble with the dialogue.
Did you stay up all night reading it is what I want to know.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I was reading till 2 and 3 in the morning some mornings.
Well, you know what kills me is when she used to be in the studio live, she'd be reading the book on the way into the studio.
Yeah.
Out loud to her husband.
Anything to get it done.
That's it. Okay, well, this is another show. We pretty much shot right in the butt. And next week we have Richard Polinelli, of course, who was on the phone with us, and he'll be on the phone with us again next week. And next week is a Russ night, so Bob, I won't see you for another couple of weeks. Bobby Jean won't be talking to you until the second week in June.
Correct.
That would be John
I'll be
Arthur
off the
Long.
Next 2 weeks.
Right.
Yes.
She's
We're going
taking
to
a
Chicago
trip.
Way.
She's going for a road trip.
Road trip.
Yeah, the 24th is Richard Polinelli. The 31st is Roy Griffiths. June 7th is John Arthur Long, and that's when Bobby Jean will be back with us. Then we have Tom Simmons, Michael Brady, and all the gang. I have no idea. Oh, that's us.
Yeah.
That's us. But we actually filled it in. We put a body in there. Who? Brill? We
got you? You got me.
Oh, wow, cool.
Well, finally,
okay.
we get Bob as a guest.
I get to turn the table.
Well, we pretty much have all the gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
No, that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And maybe by then I can give you an update on the progress of people writing in, contributing to the book.
Yeah, okay.
I'm really excited about this.
I think you should be. Okay, we're out of time. We're going to have to cut this short. So, Bob, take care. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you
weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Bobby Jean, have a good, safe trip, and we'll talk to you on June 7th.
And happy anniversary to the Writer's Block, 3 years.
3 years.
And
this is our
Bobby.
Third year show, yeah.
Welcome.
We've managed to be on the air three years and growing.
Who knew?
Yeah,
and
this
growing.
Is show 149.
Really? You're keeping count?
Well, it's not too hard to do. He just can count the archived shows at LA Talk Radio.
You know what? We love you, Bobby Jean. No one else but you would do that, and I just appreciate so much. Now, I'm still waiting for you to get me the manuscript on all the responses on the writer's block question.
I'm working on it.
Oh, okay.
Do that from 4 to 5 o'clock in the morning.
There you go. Okay.
Bob, it is Albuquerque, isn't it?
For Bob Brill, Jerry Christina, myself, and Bobby Jean Bell, another Thursday is gone. We'll see you next week right here on LA Talk Radio, The Writer's Block.